First off, I want to go ahead and acknowledge my co-authors and committee members, Rory McGuire, Dan Israel, and John Brake, who'd helped with this particular chapter of my dissertation. And then also point out that this is one chapter from my dissertation at North Carolina State University in the Soil Science Department. I've since graduated and have gone on with the agronomy department at Purdue University, so that's why we have the mix here, so good charcoal gray background to collide the two universities. So if you have any comments or questions, please contact me at the scastill@purdue.edu. Even though I'm an extension soybean specialist now, I still deal with nutrient management, so we'll catch both of those. Go ahead and jump right in. Some of the phosphorus loading aspects of the intense production areas like in North Carolina, the Delmarva, you have these issues about phosphorus movement. And one of the potential strategies is to adjust the diet phosphorus levels and the modifications. In doing so, we have a standard as the NRC, the National Research Council, which is represented in green. You have the NRC plus phytase. Phytase is an enzyme that helps break down phytate, which poultry have a hard time digesting. They really don't secrete large portions of that. And then also you have the overall lower target phosphorus level in the diet plus phytase. With these kind of diet regimes, we've seen anywhere from 21 to 24% reductions and upwards to 42%. Now, this is in total phosphorus, and the question is begged, what about the water-soluble phosphorus? And this is used as a proxy for environmental impacts and soluble runoff studies and such. And so some of the explanations and the results that we've seen is upwards of 83% reduction in water-soluble phosphorus with such diet modifications. We've seen upwards of increases of 48%, and then we've also seen no changes. And so we've seen the gamut on water-soluble phosphorus, and there's some potential explanations that have been cited here that arbitrarily we've been reducing the phosphorus ration but maintaining the calcium. And so we have an increase in the calcium to phosphorus ratio in the diets, which ends up having a decrease in the mineral-soluble phosphorus. That's one potential explanation. Another was cited here that we have increased phytate proportions, which decrease the water-soluble phosphorus. So increased organic phosphorus in the manure itself will decrease. And then some of my other work with breeder manure pellets, I really didn't see any kind of relationship there. And then finally, as manure moisture increased, we also saw an increase in manure water-soluble phosphorus. So today's talk is dealing with the breeder side. We really don't have much work done in the breeder realm of manure. And so today I'll talk about the characterizing these phosphorus constituents and how they are affected by diet phosphorus modifications, look at location within the pen, and then accumulation over time. And that those kind of factors really set us up to look at some of the other components of how these phosphorus forms and manure moisture levels will impact water-soluble phosphorus. So to lay out those who may not know much about breeder production, they're raised on these elevated flat floors, and so that the excretion comes straight through and is piled up on a concrete floor. So there's no litter substrate, it's just pure manure, kind of a pure product, if you will. And my wife laughs at me every time I say pure product, but that's what it is, it really is. You've got to look at it in that way. And in today's study, we looked at two different diets, looking at NRC, that standard diet again, where we have non-phytate phosphorus at 0.37. Do a little calculations, it's assumed to be available about 0.4. Well, you add in phytase. By doing that, you can reduce the non-phytate P by 0.1% and theoretically get the same available phosphorus. So you're at the same level. We did maintain that the calcium was at 2.7, so we recognize up front that there is some artifacts there that happened, before some of these other publications on the calcium to phosphorus ratio. But fortunately, it's small enough difference in this particular study, it really didn't show up too much. These modifications were implemented during the 42-week breeder laying phase. So when those breeders were brought in, they were 22 weeks of age, and they were grown out to 64 weeks. And three accumulation periods were collected after 48 hours, 3 weeks, and 39 weeks by three locations. And locations I'm referring to under the drinker, which is in green, and we'll maintain that color through the rest of the presentation, is underneath this red bell drinker. The feeder is in the foreground in a pink or purplish color. And then what's common is between the two. So we've got sampling areas that are 3/4 of a meter by 3/4 of a meter on this nice little sampling tray that we slid underneath the elevated floors, okay? Statistical analysis, we did analysis of variance on the main effects and the interactions. Means were separated with Fisher's protected LSD of alpha 05, and then also modeled some of the regression with linear power and exponential models. So first off, we'll take a look at the total phosphorus itself. This is going to be pin location over accumulation. Now, to set the stage again, we have the drinker in green, common area in yellow, and this pinkish purple is the feeder area. On the x-axis is the manure accumulation period over time in weeks, and then this particular graph is total phosphorus. Also want to point out the total phosphorus is on a dry weight basis. It's all calculated, so it's on the same scale, so no artifacts there. And what you see with the first sampling, the 48-hour sampling is the lowest with some of the mean separation, and it's increasing over time. You see that the drinker and the common areas are no different from each other, but they are greater than that feeder area. And I attribute that mainly to we have a lot of feed that's spilled, and so you have that kind of dilution effect. You have a lot more carbon rather than the phosphorus, and that's really demonstrated here with actual carbon concentrations in those samples. So again, over time and location, we have the feeders being the highest in manure carbon concentrations, and then followed by the drinker and the common. What's interesting about this to me is that early on, that 48-hour sample, we have the most carbon. All right, you think about the manure just sitting there and allow microbes, microorganisms to start chewing on it effectively and mineralizing any of the organic complexes. And we see that carbon reducing. So you think about organic complexes being mineralized, you have CO2 evolving and respiring, if you will. And we see that reduction. So you have a reduction in carbon concentration, you have CO2 evolving, and then also you go back and you have that total phosphorus increasing. So you can kind of explain that concentration by removing some of that CO2. Moving on to manure moisture itself, just similar trend is that the highest first 48 hours, and then it decreases quite rapidly. Even by the 3-week sampling, it stabilized, and there's no difference between the 3-week sampling compared to the 39-week accumulation sampling. And point that I'll make here is that the water-soluble phosphorus followed a very similar trend, very, very much the same. And where it comes out is in the regression of the two. So we have manure moisture on the x-axis, and then on the y-axis, water-soluble phosphorus. It didn't matter about pin location. It didn't matter about diet. It was all about the moisture versus water-soluble phosphorus. And to point that out, here in the middle, this circle here, the yellow circle in common, is a sample after 39 weeks at 48% moisture. And then we have the feeder right next to it is a sample after 48 hours. And so the moisture level is the same. The sampling time was totally different, but it's a relation between the moisture content itself and what the soluble phosphorus is. I didn't see any relationships between the diets in this, didn't see any relationship with the phosphorus forms. But another interesting point on the phosphorus forms comes here, looking at phytate. So we're looking at the organic phosphorus concentration. First start off with proportion, actually. This was analyzed using phosphorus P31 nuclear magnetic resonance, so like a MRI for your poultry litter. That's the easiest way for me to describe. I'm an extension guy. That's how I explain things. And with that, we see the greatest phytate proportion up front. So at 23%, we have phytate. You go to 3 weeks, that proportion is decreasing to 17%. And by the end of the accumulation period, it's at 7%, quite low. So you think back a few slides, we have the manure carbon concentrations were highest initially and then decreasing. So again, going through that mineralization process. So as the phytate concentrations were decreasing, the orthophosphate concentrations were increasing. So that inverse relationship, as phytate's going down, orthophosphate's going up, again, giving more evidence to this mineralization of the organic phosphorus. Percentage basis, we had 73% after 48 hours, 80% after 3 weeks, and then after the 39 weeks, we're at 91% orthophosphate. And so the story that we really want to get to is, what impact does this have on our everyday nutrient management planning, our phosphorus management plans? Well, first off, we want to have representative sampling. It's very critical. If we were biased more toward the feeder side, we would underestimate total phosphorus by 20%. We'd also underestimate water-soluble phosphorus by 10%. Thus, if we were using a phosphorus-based application, we'd over-apply about 20% total phosphorus and also increase that risk for soluble phosphorus losses. As I alluded to earlier, manure water-soluble phosphorus is a proxy for the kind of the environmental runoff phosphorus, and so that's where this comes into play. Second point to be made is manure moisture management. Good alliteration. Limit the water that's spilled so you can reduce the amount of manure water-soluble phosphorus. Again, get into that environmental impact. You want to maintain the optimal diet calcium to phosphorus ratio so that phosphorus is digested properly, and then you follow that up with just our research itself. We need to continue to do the research, but we need to also include manure moisture content. Very few studies actually bring that into play. And so I think that helps explain what's going on in these phosphorus diet ratios and modifications and just phosphorus management in poultry. And then, again, to the last point, poultry litters and manures are not created equal. Broilers were on the low side of 30% orthophosphate, turkeys at 50%, and we were at 91%. And then conversely, the phytate is going in the opposite direction. So why are they not equal? Well, the bird types are different. They have different digestion capabilities. The age of the birds, as the birds age, they have a higher capacity to digest some of that phytate, but still not at an extremely high ratio. You look at the rations themselves, they're going to be different. And then the production practice. The broilers will have a litter substrate, and so will the turkeys, whereas the breeders will have straight manure. You have a carbon to nitrogen ratio that's around 8 to 10 in the breeder manure, whereas the litter substrates are much higher. And then the accumulation periods themselves, just the time for the microbes to digest that. So what implications does this have? Most of the phosphorus management plans are on total phosphorus. They don't account as much for the plant availability. So if we had breeder manures with high orthophosphate, presumably they'd have a higher environmental impact as far as potential runoff, but that also would have higher plant phosphorus availability. And then we need to, again, integrate the phosphorus forms, availability, and moisture. With that, I'd like to acknowledge Todd Carpenter, Peggy, Jennifer, and Adam for their work, and Brenda and Lisa. I'd be happy to entertain any questions.